Use your best judgment, everyone, please.
All right, good evening. I'll call the meeting to order Tuesday, June 25th, 2024. If I could get a motion to drop the agenda, seconder.
Any additions or deletions?
We do have the addition of a moment of silence for Bill Johnny, please.
Okay, so a moment of silence for Bill Johnny.
I'll make the motion that we adopt the agenda as amended, please.
I'll second it.
Yep.
This is the same as last one.
Yeah, we'll take that minute for Bill Johnny right now.
All in favor of adopting the agenda?
It starts.
We got nobody calling in.
Okay.
No Helen or anybody calling in?
No
Helen is there.
Yeah, Helen's on.
Okay, we'll take a moment of silence. Moment of silence for Bill Johnny.
Yeah.
That's good.
Okay, thank you for that.
Could I ask for one more?
Yeah.
Quick prayer for the healing of
Shauna Byers.
Shauna Byers.
Okay, sure. We'll have another moment of silence for Shauna Byers.
Healing.
For healing. Thank you. All right. The agenda, adoption of the agenda of the regular meeting of June 3rd, 2024. Is that the right date of June 3rd?
I believe it is.
Yes, it was a Monday.
Yeah.
Monday?
Yeah, it was a Monday.
Okay.
That's right.
I'll make a motion.
I'll make the motion to accept.
Okay, Helena makes a motion to accept. It. Or second, all in favor? Thank you.
Aye.
All right, delegations. Greg, you're up.
All right, yeah, so thanks. Thank you for this moment. We won't be as long. I want to introduce you to the new member of the RCMP CarMax attachment, Mark Tomblett.
Hi, Mark.
Introduce yourself.
Nice to meet you all. I'm actually very, very excited to be here, myself and my family. Two younger boys, six and soon to be four. My wife has a job, I guess, lined up at the school as counselor. So we're already kind of getting set up. And yeah, it's going to be a nice change of pace from Dawson. So very, very excited to be here.
Welcome.
Thanks for having
me.
Cheers.
Any questions?
I don't know. I'm Justin LaChance.
Nice to meet you.
Okay. Games. You'll see me lots. I met Lucas T-ball there.
Did you? Okay.
I'm sure I heard he was a hockey player. So
yes, yeah.
And yourself.
Yeah.
So we'll see you out there.
Excellent.
Yeah. Cool. I met your wife.
Did you? Okay,
yeah.
Perfect.
And what's your young one's name?
Teo.
Teo. Okay. Yeah. He was playing third base today.
Did he actually get there?
Yeah.
Oh, that's
got
good.
Out there today. So mom was proud.
He's hard to keep focus.
Yeah.
He's kind of in the wind.
We paired him up with Amara, so they're both the same age and size, so we got two on third, so they were a team.
That's good.
We're doing really good.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
anything big brother does, he likes to do too. Usually.
That's right. So, yeah,
that's cool. We're good.
Were you at Doris Hanson?
Nice to meet you.
Dennis Mitchell.
Dennis, pleasure.
I work with the fire at Fairmax Fire and Highways,
so we'll cross paths no doubt.
Doris works for conservation.
Oh, okay, as well.
Yeah. So if you need a fishing license or a hunting license,
that would be
the one person to see. Okay.
Yeah. I'm your guard.
Yeah.
I love small communities. Yeah. This is great. So many hats.
Matt Jewalski is the
director. That's right.
That's where we crossed paths. I realized we were doing a relief stint here. A
quick relief stint a couple years ago.
What, 2.5, 3 years ago or somewhere?
About a year and a half or so.
Yeah,
October.
There we go.
Yeah.
There we go.
Maybe have Annette over here.
I don't need to be here.
Don't forget about me.
Oh, yeah.
Ellen, pretty much.
She's an old car right now.
Yeah, she's pretty much like she worked at the nursing station, EMS, pretty much filling pretty much every position. Her husband also has a cleaning contract with the health center and health center. Really good person to know.
It's nice to meet you. Looking forward to meeting you in person. Says the voice.
Yeah, I look forward to meeting you too.
Cheers.
We'll start with the month of May was a little more eventful than 2023. So there's the little mistake over here. It's comparing 2023 and not 2024. The assaults were higher this year. Drug files, we didn't have any files, but we're working towards getting more information on who deals drugs. It's more like on their modus operandi. So we want to know like how they sell, where they sell, who they sell it to, who it gets, who they get it from. We're just trying to get reliable sources or witnesses that can give us information towards a drug kick. Concerning the drug files, I don't know if you remember in 2023 in March at the Jennifer Conza residence, there was a drug file. We got a conviction out of it.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm.
So 5 ounces for a small community, it's a lot. And conviction in a small community, it's also a lot. And not with the GIS or MCU or FIU. It was just us. So it was pretty hard to get it.
Good for you.
Yeah, thanks.
It's very impressive.
I spent the entire day on the stand, but it was really long day. And it was that the false alarm was like, went through the roof, 16. It's just a detention center had a problem with their alarm system.
Okay.
Everything started by someone was curious about what was the button underneath the counter.
Oh.
Oh, what is that? Press it, and then they started numerous false alarm. Good thing we didn't have a sex assault file last month. That's really good because in May 2003 we had 3. Yeah, that's a lot. Traffic. We've been for this month. We'll try to concentrate our effort on traffic, especially with what happened in Tesla and what happened in Whitehorse. You'll probably see me pull people over, give written warnings.
I already got one of those.
Oh,
yeah. Let's try not to laugh. Notice that a lot of traffic is, a lot of tourists are driving carelessly. So if you do see like something out of norm, like someone going the wrong way on the one-way street, we don't have one-way street over here, but on the wrong side of the road or doing like stupid stuff, call us because the tourists need to understand that you don't mess around in caravans and you have to abide by the rules. And that were a little higher in calls last year, but for service calls involving alcohol were higher than last year. So alcohol is again a factor in the big factor in our calls. Pretty much second, like one quarter, like one third of our calls, almost like half of them are related to alcohol. So this year, CarMax attachment continues to work closely with SCAM to combat the ongoing drug concern community. Although drug use was a contributing factor in several calls, nearly 40% of the occurrences had alcohol as primary factor. I remember conducting patrols at the Globalist Lounge, and a total of 32 bar walks were conducted throughout the month in effort to use visibility to promote smart choices and prevent issues. We've been noticing that at one point they were over-serving. we got a liquor inspector in town, and we were briefed. I briefed them like really directly about they can lose the license if they overserve.
Yeah.
Even at one point, there was a they should have not served someone, and they sold a 40 ounce of vodka. Throughout the month, we conducted the combined obscenity patrols in and around the community. Approximately 76 hours were done. During that time, traffic enforcement was conducted with numerous territorial violation issues. We saw several speeders who were passing through the area with the arrival of the third member next this month. It is anticipated that there will be an increase of focus on road safety and patrol as the new member will be exploring the community and try to be familiar with the community. Yeah. Just like I said to Matt on a previous conversation, if we pull people over, it's not just for fun. It's we're just trying to show that we're impartial. Yeah. We're not choosing favorites. Good that everybody has their stuff together. Again, like members of the community, I'll try to be more like comprehensive and more compassionate because some people have a hard time paying food for their kids. So I'll understand, like, I give them the warnings about some stuff that, and where, so it would have been a big deal, vehicle being towed. I just give a warning and just say, look, it's not a big deal here. Just get it fixed.
Yeah.
Because if you go to Warriors and traffic gets you, yeah, totally.
Yeah.
And again, I try to be comprehensive and compassionate for people with Carmex, for the people with Carmex. Warriors, I won't be as compassionate because they have more resources over there. They can. The Motor Vehicle Bureau is always open 5 days a week. So. Reason. And also in town there's more people going to the camps getting white horse too. Pretty much like a 9-to-5 job. So remember we're very present during the school month, so in May. We took part in gym class, running club, ridge run, graduation,
water fights.
Yeah, that's one thing we'll try to do every year. It's every year we'll get it a little bigger and a little bigger and a little more organized because we want that water fight to happen every year. Yeah, because every year everybody has one. There's no major incident that happened. There's always one kid that goes to a younger kid and spray directly in the eye. Yes, it happens. But again, no major incident happened during that time. We also attended the Wellness Week and games tournament, and we're honored to be invited at the Little Simon Village in order to pay respect to the family of Hazel Charlie. So that was the unnamed grave in Alberta. We were pretty lucky to be invited.
Thanks for coming.
It's always fun. It continues to be our pleasure to be part of the community, and we're looking forward to the upcoming summer months. So we'll try to be involved as much as possible this summer. Like I said, Matt, I'll try to participate in the baseball tournament, softball tournament, and I'll get my coworkers to enforce public intoxication. Because last year was a big problem.
That was a big issue. I want to say I had called in two participants, yes, regarding liquor infractions that had to be followed up on. So, you know, we can nip that in the bud before we necessarily have to follow up on these issues. That's always a more proactive approach, we feel.
And again, on my behalf, yes, I could have acted on it. But at the same time, I was trying not to arrest the entire team and then just have, like, pretty much a win, like, for every game, except for two teams that were not drinking. So notable occurrences, there was two search warrants that were executed in relation of a sexual assault investigation. Although the Pillar Crossing was a primary investigating body, Carmex member continued to assist as needed, as some aspect of the occurrence took place within Carmex. So the file was we did search warrant. We found the items that we were looking for, and those items were sent to Winnipeg for analysis. So we'll be able to get to concrete evidence, and if we have concrete evidence, we don't have to wait for the victim's approval. We can just go for it. Again, that's just assumptions that if we find something. While investigating an assault, member came across a parolee who was violating his release term. As a result, the male was arrested and brought to a Whitehorse Correctional Center, where he was statutory release was revoked. The male remained in custody, and it is anticipated that he will now serve a remainder of his sentence in the correctional facility as opposed to the community. So the person was serving the rest of his sentence in the community and was found intoxicated in public and causing trouble in Carmex. We have reached him and we transported the wires. When we have people on condition, it's always good to have extra set of eyes. So currently, we have one person in Carmex that's not allowed in Carmex. It's Charles Allen. If you see him, he's not allowed to be in Carmex except to go through and to support camp.
That's Christian's boyfriend?
No, Charles Allen. Yeah, short film.
Right. Used to work at CDC.
Yeah, and worked for First Nation and then switched truck and then went for a cat.
Yeah, like a normal guy.
Again, if you have any information about drugs in town, please come forward to us. We'll try to act. Yes, it's. I understand that the community wants like immediate action, but like I spoke with Matt earlier today, it's a long game. Like it can't be like immediately. Like we have to build cases. If we want to win the trial, we need good solid files.
Particularly intelligence led investigations, so we need to gather the intelligence to be able to back up the extra steps we need to take to get into houses, vehicles, so on and so forth. So frustrating. We had the same issues up in Dawson City where people wonder why we wouldn't act on the information right away, but it's the nature of the law right now. So
right. We got the people that know the things and they won't come forward.
That is,
you know, just makes me
12 years I've been doing
the
this.
Coffee shops, you hear them talking about, well, tell the cops. Oh, well, I don't know. Well, you're not helping anything then.
No, that's it. No one wants the, they're afraid of the label or anything else that they think they'll get. Fortunately, our hands are tied until we get something concrete, but always working on it.
Like I've said to everybody with substance abuse, if you need help, I'll help you. Like that's one way you can get out of that atmosphere. It's by turning in your drug dealer or people supplying the drug dealers. Sometimes it's not the drug dealer. Sometimes it's easier to get the guy that transports the drugs than getting the drug dealer, because once you have that guy that transports drugs, we can work in to get information on the bigger fish. There's always a bigger fish somewhere. But people in town are more looking forward to get like the big fish in town out of town. Any questions? Comments? Requests?
I don't think so. Welcome to the community.
Thanks guys very much. We've seen a lot of each other over the next few years, so looking forward to it.
Nice.
Thanks for the warm welcome.
Absolutely.
Right on.
Thanks, Greg.
Oh, that's
thanks,
Greg.
Well, have a good one.
Good evening. Everyone. Good
evening, guys. Good
question. Is that pothole open at the, or did they close that down?
Things
closed.
Yeah, okay. Closed. Moving on. No correspondence. We'll go to reports. We'll go to council activity reports. We'll start with Doris.
You want to go down the driveway? council-wise. Thank you.
Okay. Dennis?
We got some, but I can't remember, so I'm going to say no. I got nothing. The things that, the only thing I was going to, oh, go ahead, Doris.
I attended the barbecue.
The community barbecue?
That the EMS had, plus the public
emergency response.
One. Yeah.
Okay.
That one I had.
Yeah.
That one. And the one Public Service Commission had at the right time into that one, too.
Sure.
I beg your pardon. I did do something useful.
The dog barbecues too, but not the one at the rec center. The two EMS and fire, like the combined one. But I don't know if this is the time to bring it up. But the biggest thing people have been talking about is the noise. People have been coming up to me about it because it says lately the speed down River Drive again is going crazy, and it's they say it seems like it just gets when certain houses you could tell they don't like that person. They just floor it and their mufflers are loud. But the noise is, I know living there, like I said, these trucks, I have no problem with these guys going through with the fuel and the chemicals. They seem to be respectful. I have to say it, the locals, and not all of it, we've probably got about 80%, 90% locals great, but it's always that 5-10% that's got to wreck it for all of us, give us a bad day. You know, put a muffler on your vehicle. There's no need for this. So
there will be a bylaw coming up for that, right?
Well, there is going to be a review of the current bylaws we do have.
Yeah.
Do we have necessarily a bylaw that outlines engine noise? No, it's something we can explore and look at, as well as we can look at reducing speed limits on a main artery like River Drive. Right now, they're at 50 kilometers. Some other municipalities have experienced the same issues, and they reduced their speed limits down to 30 kilometers and 25 kilometers. Well, it's slow, but you know, other solutions do include speed bumps.
Can you tell me
doing compliance through a bylaw officer, which again we will be hiring a bylaw officer in the next few weeks.
When is that bylaw coming up for review?
It's in the CAO review, so I believe that's under our Parks and Open Spaces bylaw. So we have that scheduled after animal control.
So
that would probably be the July 16th council meeting, if I can anticipate to the best of my abilities.
If you had some type of idea where you could propose what that might look like to the council, then
I can come up with three or four options for you guys, like I usually do.
Yeah, no, that'd be a good idea there. We did, I did come to council meetings when I was on council. I don't know if Doris was on council there, because this is going a long way back. They talked about speed bumps, and then they talked about the danger of people going out of control on speed bumps. So that one went around the barn, and obviously we never got speed bumps.
Yep.
And then snow removal would have been a pain in the butt. And the only other thing people come forward to me is they're trying to complain about people starting work early in the morning, in municipality, 6:30, 7 o'clock in the morning, they're starting to, I could tell you the area, it's over that way. And I just told them, I said, once again, I've lived on River Drive for how many years I lived in this community, and they start digging up River Drive 6:37 in the morning. That's just the way it is. You just got to, so I don't know.
Well, we issued the permit for the work that was going to be happening along River Drive this summer. It was outlined from 7 a.m. to, I believe, 8 p.m.
Yeah.
With working hours.
Yeah. So
and that was in conjunction with our open spaces bylaw. So
those are the only two things people come forward with me about. Yeah.
Also, we have the review coming up shortly, so this will be our opportunity to kind of.
I wish people would come in and speak for themselves.
Yeah.
And if people are online listening, please come in and your issues.
Someone asked me what was going on for Canada Day, and I was hoping there'd be a record report tonight, but there isn't any.
There isn't. It's scheduled for the first council meeting of each month. But we do have a schedule that will be coming out most likely by Wednesday or Thursday.
Okay.
So we've already met with that, with the Recreation Department. Spoke with Chanel and George. They have a nice docket of events. They are requesting if we can have council participation for a pancake breakfast on Monday morning. So we'll have to see if that's possible. I will be there to participate on behalf of administration, as well as Jens and Annette. So if we could have a similar participation to...
Text and remind me.
I will, Dennis. Absolutely, Councilor Mitchell.
I'm expecting company from out of town that day, but if they're not here till after lunch, then I'll be fine. I'll come.
I appreciate that, Councilor Hanson. Yeah, I believe that's a Monday this year is Canada Day. So we do have pancake breakfast on schedule. Mini golf has been set up in the arena slab, so we're pretty excited about that. It's a nice, cool facility too, so it'll be very comfortable for everybody. We have a couple cool community barbecues on agenda, some fun games and prizes. Fortune No live music. We're gonna be saving that for the 40th anniversary celebration in August. But we'll still have some cool stuff happening. There's gonna be details about a parade coming out as well. So I know usually that's a pretty big hit in the community. So do keep your eyes out for that, Councillor.
Thank you.
No worries.
All right, Helena, how would you like to do your report?
What time is the pancake breakfast at?
I believe it's going to be at 10 a.m. or 9:30. I believe it's going to be 9:30 or 10 a.m. I don't have the finite details yet, but it will be late morning. Late morning and usually goes on until around 11, 11:30. So usually about a two-hour commitment is what's required.
Okay. I'll be able to attend.
How did you want to give your report? Did you want to? Helena?
For SCM?
Yeah. You just going to send it in?
Well, no, I was going to just talk about it. So we had registered to attend for the water treatment plant, but as you're well aware of what happened in Calgary while we were there, so that got shut down. And then we were going to do the emergency one, and that got shut down. And so then most of the study tours got filled because two of them were shut down because of what happened in Calgary. Prime Minister Trudeau was actually in person, and the Prime Minister role of speaking, and individuals asked questions, and a lot on their spending, and he came back and said that we're in a deficit, but not really compared to, he was comparing our to different countries, that we're not that bad. What else did I? And then I attend the Northern Forums. Some of the up north, there was one gentleman that was upset because I guess they had two different air companies flying up to up north, and then they amalgamated. So they went from 14 flights a week to 4 a week. And so it made it very difficult for stuff to be shipped in. So they were wanting us to, you know, help them, support them in that. They also, there was what else was there? I have nothing with me here. and then in the trade show I did talk to an individual in regards to the when we come into the community, and that sign that tells what people are speed limit is. So the lady had said that you can actually get information from it if that's the type we had. And so I don't know, Matt, did you get a chance to ask Department of Highways whether or not that
not unfortunately that spec'd technology. The one that's included on the North Klondike Highway. That predates that by a few years.
Okay. Vehicle registration.
So anyway.
One that has the reading capabilities.
There was,
to read a license plate?
No, not reading the license plate. It was just data that tells how many people, just to prove our point that people are speeding in that area. And so it I guess it collects the data of how many speeding vehicles, like how many vehicles are going 80 kilometers at that point, 30 kilometers or 50 kilometers or whatever. Apparently somehow you can have that type of data attached to those signs. Mm-hmm. And so I didn't know what kind of what company we had of those signs. And so that was the type of, it was just some ammunition for the fact that we want it to be lowered, and because of being also a school zone kind of thing, or to get, I know it's the Department of Highways, and so
yeah, we asked,
but that was
that
one
before.
Of our, and then
yeah, we'd have to lobby on behalf of the municipality.
There's already a school sign there.
Yeah, but they can't lower a highway speed lower than the 70 or whatever. What is it? 50. What's the answer we got?
Okay.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And then I went to the zoo.
It's a pretty nice zoo in Calgary.
I went and saw what's it called? Something panda?
A red panda?
Oh, what's that?
A red panda?
Yes. They are so cute. And then we actually did a little bit of driving around in Calgary in itself. Justin had his aunt's vehicle, so we did some sightseeing and looking at their, seeing where their facilities were and stuff like that. So, yeah, I think that's about it. I can report.
Thanks, right, Donna. Appreciate that. Thank you.
And I didn't attend anything else. I've been out of town working constantly again. Now I'm done.
Thanks, Helena. I too attended the FCM in Calgary. Like Helena said, they had a major water main break, which would have been nice to see how they handled their emergency services in action. But we kind of got to see from a distance how all their agencies work together. And they kept it pretty calm, I would say.
Yeah, it was well handled.
Yeah. They asked you to reduce the water. Their water supply does supply a lot of communities outside the city center. So it was pretty, you know.
You got tired.
Yeah, a little bit tired. I did attend a trade show. I did attend a couple of spots with Matthew. Mm-hmm. Some was about the fire smarting and... we've already, what was the lady's name? But we've dealt with the companies here. We have information packages.
Is the affiliate for the Yukon Territory when it comes to Fire Smart Canada programs. So we have some funding that's coming along the way, which was exactly what the delegate that was at the trade show was plugging. So
yeah, it was nice to put a face to it.
Had a nice 30-minute conversation with them.
Yeah.
Got some free stuff.
The other one was about parks and like fresh like drinking water for public at parks, some ideas for that. The other is what was the structured calculation of residencies.
Oh yeah, there was an interesting online dashboard similar to what you would see for apartments.com or Expedia or a realtor listing, where you have a GIS map that's included on an online website or mobile friendly device, and then you can click on an area or a grid of a map and get information of lot properties, a link to the deeds or title registry office. It really makes it a one-stop shop for development information, emergency services, because they said this was all layered through 911 services and emergency response technologies. So they're not really recreating the wheel. They're just, augmenting the data for the needs they need for housing. So it's pretty nifty. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, interesting for that. Cool. Yeah.
The road sealing guys we talked to out of
Germany.
Yeah,
we talked to a cold patch guy.
Out of Germany.
Which is, yeah, ideal for cold weather. It's about how the North is using cold patch and what other types of products that they're using.
That's the most durable cold patch there is.
How it stands up to like snow, blades on it, all these types
rigorous
of
rigorous traffic. So their example was on the Deerfoot Trail. They use their product to patch a pretty serious pothole back in 2018, and the original cold patch was still there, being effective today.
Yeah,
ours doesn't have a problem in the warm and the cold. It's a spring breakup where it just goes down.
Yeah, the water. Yeah.
Water, but they're interested in using sending some of the cold patch mixture up to us to use it as a pilot in the North. And we're going to definitely participate in that.
I need to try it.
The product could work. You never know.
Yeah. There's a couple other spots was more to do with like just regular maintenance, like tools for, you know,
robotic
like,
mowers. And
yeah. Just for like trimming hedges and some other stuff.
Interesting.
Yeah. I think that was pretty much it for me. I've been helping out with the T-ball coaching a little bit. I also had heard some concerns from some citizens regarding the roads and the noise also, Dennis. You know, it is, I hear what you're saying. It is loud, obnoxious. But if we could work towards like some type of, you know, outcome where everybody, you know, can see where that's going to come from. Yeah.
You think people would be courteous knowing that you shouldn't have to tell people your vehicle is loud.
I was helping Jens out a couple of times with the street lights project. So there's like 15 street lights in placements of what's mostly concerned of these dark areas in the wintertime and the bus stops for the youth where that you can't see them standing there. And I also had some conversations, and I've been talking to Matt about this renewable resources greenhouse and some emails that have been sent in regards to that. I know we have an in-camera for that conversation, just in regards to what that situation looks like. And
is that because it could be legal?
It could
because
be
it's not really land or labor.
Yeah, it could be legal. We have two things for in-camera. It's one legal-related, and then one land related for EOI reviews.
And just normal operations for me at the fire hall. And that's all I got.
Thank you.
Yeah. I guess for Lee's report, we'll skip to Matthew for his CAO report. Matthew?
All right, I appreciate that. Thank you, Deputy Mayor. So here we're just having a CAO debrief that does outline the dates of May 19th to June 19th. A lot of this information is the same table information from the previous report. There's just some, let's say, gravity attached to some of these bullet points that we really should be stressing, especially what we're starting with bullet point number one, which is we have a municipal election coming up. I think we all know that October 17th is election day. We've got a lot of milestones we have to hit before then. So we do have some bullet points outlined here, as well as the municipal election calendar that was shared from our friends at Community Services. So we do have a couple projects that are working in conjunction with some of the milestones that are going to be attached to the municipal election, mostly those being the electoral list and census development. So we do plan on getting a contract out for a few locals, preferably 2 to 3 locals, to do some census door knocking. So Faro just did their municipal census, and they completed it for about $4,000 all included, with a report and an actual verified list of who's in the community. So we're looking at following the same practices that they've kind of proven. We would be preparing a preliminary list of candidates for the municipal election, hopefully spitballing that through the returning possible officials in the next few months and weeks. That would roll into passing a municipal election bylaw prior to September 5th with 3 readings. Ms. Doors.
preliminary list of electors?
Yeah, so I guess that's what it's referred to as in here. They have preliminary list of electors and revised list of electors.
Because candidates, isn't that the people that are running?
Yeah, candidates are the people that are running, and then the electors are the people that will be voting them in. So in the Municipal Act, it does outline that we don't necessarily have to have a municipal list of electors, but that's always been a bit of a challenge for us. The returning officers' responsibility when we do have an election is they need to verify if someone's an eligible voter or not.
I don't understand what a preliminary list of candidates is.
Oh, so preliminary list of candidates would be who wants to possibly run. So say we have an elected board right here. Is there possibly some returning officials that would like to put their name in for re-election possibly? We need to, as outlined here in this calendar, look at a preliminary list of candidates about two or three times over this timeline, because we need to have our official list of candidates, I believe, by
September 26th.
September 26th, yes, because that's when the nomination period closes. So when we do the actual public notice of election to the nomination period, we only have two full weeks. It's pretty tight timeline according to the Municipal Act. So this is where I'm stressing to the people here. Start thinking about your platform. Start thinking about what your values are, what you've accomplished over your previous term. There's quite a bit we've accomplished. If you need any help from administration or myself, I'd be more than happy to refresh some of the things we worked on and collaboratively accomplished together. But yeah, these are the main dates that we do need to hit the target dates for. All leading up to an election date of October 17th. So it would be nice. They do this in two or three other municipalities in the territory where the municipality hosts a candidate forum leading up to the election to allow each candidate to share what they value and the vision for the community. I would stress that that's probably a good practice for us to follow in CarMax.
Which date would that fall on if that's the schedule that we're following?
That would have to fall in sometime between September 26th.
Yep.
And then to real probably October 9th, because you want to do it before the advanced poll date.
Yep. And who makes that decision?
Well, it would be this elected official board. We would put that as part of our municipal election bylaw, that we are including a debate date or a forum date or a overview date, something of that nature.
When are we reviewing the municipal act bylaw?
A municipal act bylaw or a municipal election bylaw?
Election bylaw.
That has to be done before September 5th. So realistically, we have to have that date picked before the third reading on September 5th.
Okay.
So we would have this first reading most likely happening August 20th. So we need to have that date selected by August 20th so I can have it included in the bylaw draft as well as in the report.
So when's that a council meeting on the 6th that you would...
Yeah, we'd be more likely looking at August 6th that we have all of our ducks in order.
I won't be here August 20th.
Okay. Councilor Hanson?
I'm going on vacation.
Oh, nice. Well, so that's what
you're defined.
You said August 20th?
Yeah.
So again, we are going to be having that census and that electoral list project happening, just because when we ran the by-election last year, it did create quite a bit of a headache for our administrative staff figuring out who's an eligible voter, who is not an eligible voter. And we can't necessarily just rely on someone's recognition and memory of the community either. People move, situations change. Outside of that, we have been working on our VOC fleet update. So while I was gone for my annual leave, we did acquire our newest fleet addition, which is our Case 710 GX payloader and wheel loader. We're pretty excited about that. Our public works general manager worked really diligently to hammer out a fleet user and standards manual that we're going to be reviewing this week. on Friday, and then that will be included on the July 2nd council meeting, just for eyes for review. On top of that, we have been doing the training. So training has been coordinated between the GM, the CAO, and the facilitator. We have done the asset hop handover process, so we can have that included in our asset management registry. We did have the emergency preparedness open house scheduled for June 20th, but due to sensitivity of some issues happening in the community, we did choose to postpone that to a later date. All respective VOC departments are doing their EAP drills this week. So we will be following up with council for the July 2nd council meeting to determine what will be the follow-up date for the postponed town hall. We are still working on updating the Fire Smart Preparedness Program to get that contest going and letting people know what the prizes are going to be applicably available. We do have a tabletop exercise being completed this week, as I just said. We have updated all of our EAPs or in the process of doing so for one or two last remaining departments. And we are determining evacuation zones, resident information, and registry documents for our upcoming inclement weather season. Fire Smart Preparedness funding up to $25,000 has been secured for the municipality. We found out from our contact it's between $20,000 and $25,000 what we've received. We just may not receive it until later in the season, which doesn't necessarily help our activities and practices right now. So we may have a plan for using some capital from the VOC and then reciprocating that back once the funding is in our accounts through a RIPA committees. The bylaw review process. So as we're getting into winding down the third year term here, we are going to be doing a hammer of a process or hammering down a bylaw review process. We did start this back in May with the employment bylaw, which we're still reviewing as of today's meeting. It's pretty much a periodical review of bylaws that are included for service point cost changes, documentation review, and review of all service fee schedules. So this list includes for review our employment bylaw, our emergency measures bylaw, our animal control bylaw, our parks and open spaces bylaw, our council indemnity bylaw, our recreation committee bylaw, and our recreation service rates bylaw. Members of Mayor and Council are encouraged to suggest any other bylaws for review. We do have the civic addressing bylaw being included for this review. Additionally, as we have had that project come to completion with YG GIS mapping services. So we've had a few cool updates reflecting that.
Thank you.
And then lastly, we just have the project updates. So we do have the aquatic sector redevelopment tenders. So those are supposed to be going out by the week of June 18th, but we had hit a couple snags with the contractors. But we will be having the review happening early next week. The project will break ground the week after we select the tender contract. We did receive a little bit of disappointing news. We didn't receive our CDF application for the $75,000 portion of the project. But we do have enough in gas tax balance to cover the remaining. So I've already talked to Sandra, and this was a rationale of why our funding wasn't necessarily approved, but they knew we could still use funding from gas tax to meet the medium or the difference, whereas other organizations or agencies don't necessarily have gas tax balance to utilize towards us.
But the main funding is still there.
Oh yeah, the 175 we already secured from gas tax is already there. It's just unfortunate they've selected other agencies to receive the funding. So this will no longer be a stackable project. It will just be a CCBM exclusive project. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So yeah, we've got three submitted bids thus far that we'll be reviewing on Tuesday or Wednesday for the Aquatic Center. PWGM and I are working on a brushing work plan that includes stopping at Kubota tomorrow just to see what our options are on the Kubota attachment. Originally, we're looking at another one, but it's so, I guess, delayed on back order that we're going to look for some alternative options. So we
possibly renting,
possibly purchasing a different manufacturer. We're looking at all avenues at this point. Outside of that, we will have Greenwood Engineering Solutions presenting a little bit of an update on the boardwalk and what's remaining on the boardwalk completion plan. And then we will be working internally in-house with our public works department to finish that off over the next 3 to 4 weeks. Lastly, we just have upcoming activities. I've just been back in office for a couple days, but I will be reaching out later this week to administration over at Little Salmon Carmex First Nation to see when we can nail down on our next joint council meeting date. We do have our EOI special meeting to review all submissions, which is going to be included in tonight's in-camera session. And then start thinking about your platform values and plans for next council term. I do encourage all councillors to put their name in for re-election. We've published quite a bit, and it's been a great pleasure learning from you and the chemistry we really kind of accomplished. So it would be a pleasure to kind of continue that great working relationship, and I would encourage you to all put your name in for re-election, and I would support you in that cause if you need any help on remembering what we've accomplished or developing a platform. I'd be more than happy to help.
Thank you, Matthew.
No worries. Thank you.
AYC, anything, Doris, from AYC?
Board of Directors meeting is on Friday, but I have an appointment at 12:30, so I won't be in attendance at that.
Did you just need somebody to step in for you?
I don't think they can.
At no, I can't be a delegate. It has to be someone that's on board, yeah.
Sorry. Would be nice, but no. And the September board meeting, I haven't got a date yet, but that will be in Dawson City as they announce at the AGM. And that's all I know.
Thank you, Doris. Right. Accounts and payables is nothing this
no, we'll have meeting. For yeah. The second.
Thank you. Okay. Bylaws. 8.1 Employment 261-19 Bylaw Review, please.
Perfect.
That is the...
So I've already highlighted a few things. If you guys have had a chance to do some homework and review over the last three council meetings, feel free to interject or add on verbatim as required. But there are a few things we do kind of need to, let's address or pay attention to, starting in the interpretation and the definitions.
Yep.
So the first one would be compressed work week.
Yeah. See that?
So we already have a variety of work weeks that fall outside of those that are included in the definition. So we'll probably have to come up with a few different, let's say, layers to that definition that will be all inclusive. On top of that, I know we did select the acting pay. We'll get to that in a second.
The acting pay?
Yeah.
So if somebody's in your...
acting role for
any acting role?
Any acting role.
Okay.
It's usually going to be senior management role.
Oh, rates and pay, 11?
Let me see one second here.
Under phone rate.
That's on phone. We'll get to that in a second. So
okay.
I probably jumped the gun a little bit.
Oh, it says it here, acting pay.
But under Schedule 4, hours of work, we do have hours of work that fall outside of these normal definition of hours of work. So we'll again have to have something that reflects that. And we'll need to have something that includes what a work week looks like for Public Works. Public Works has been a growing department over the last 2 years. That's not necessarily included in here. Because again, they're included under what would be municipal services, but we have work days that are starting at 6 a.m. in the morning. And we have work days that are sometimes ending at 8 p.m. So we'll find something that is a little bit more telling of what the reflective definition should be. No issues with probationary periods. Any issues with performance reviews? Right. Salary reviews are all done under the pay equity scale as well as the wage increase scale, all based on the basis of merit and funds available. Any issues with that?
Nope.
Next, we're getting into disciplinary measures, suspension, and termination. I know under preliminary reviews, I didn't see anything that really was eye-popping. Any concerns on that one?
Not seeing any.
Perfect. Next one is just subject directly to the reflection and the scope of the CAO. So again, that's for the interpretation of what the pleasure of council means to the CAO doing a satisfactory job. Any issues with that?
Not seeing any.
Perfect.
Questions?
Next is just regarding layoff and resignation. Everything seems pretty industry standard here.
Yeah.
We will see some issues jump up out of rates of pay here. So we do have a pay equity scale. It's not included here. I can print that off or bring it up on the laptop if everyone wants to see that. That's always been compounded depending on what our CPI increase has been each year. We will see that there is one issue here. This bylaw was last, I think, done in 2019. So we're about 5 years since the last review has been given to it. And we have noticed that there is some outdated actuals and figures for what an annual CPI increase should be. So when this bylaw was written, we have an annual CPI increase condition that it should not exceed any prorated increase of 2.5% in any given year. That's under 11.2. So if you look at the CPI increases for three straight years, they've all been over 4% for three straight years, for four straight years, I believe. And that's all been due to the high inflation demands when the CPI annual cost of living index comes out. Each year it's been at, I believe, 4.8, 4.4, 6%, and then we had almost 8% last year. When we've tried to be fair to what is reflective in the data in that report.
Can it not just read as a minimum?
Yeah, it could, absolutely.
I was just thinking that, put as a minimum, since you said it's now 4%.
Like, I mean, if the rate is, as it comes in, we make those decisions, but if you set a minimum.
Would Mayor and Council would you want to see a cap at any percentage?
Or would you I would say that it's left to the discretion, but I would ask the councillors.
I agree with that. We'd find a minimum, and at a cap, it would be
discretion.
Mayor and Council discretion.
Oh, that would be a lot more accessible and easier for us to manage as administrators.
I think it would make a lot more sense. Well, I've endorsed the deal.
Okay, so
I'm talking a lot here. You should talk.
Sounds good.
You start talking percentage here, percentage there. It starts getting confusing. So.
Are we okay with the qualifier that if CPI indicates a negative adjustment, the wage scale will not be amended and we will just let people grandfather in their existing wage scale or wage points?
Yes.
Perfect. All right. So straight time, double time, and flex time are all according to industry standard. There shouldn't be any issues there. Okay, then we have the underfill rate of pay. Again, I don't really see any issues here.
No, but you're getting down to the acting pay one.
We're getting pretty close, yes. Then we got reclassification. Pretty close to what unions and industry standards do offer. Any issues with promotion? And the cap of salary increases up to 10%.
Well, because the way it's worded, up to 10% means it's also in our discretion.
Mm-hmm.
Could be 4%.
It can be.
Yeah, so I don't have a problem with that wording.
Perfect.
That's me. I don't know about anybody else.
Any other questions on that?
No.
Oh, you are there. Thought you went to sleep.
Doris?
No, I'm good.
Okay.
The only thing I would advise is when I did go from my previous position as a recreation director to being a CAO, again, being the only person that does serve directly through the pleasure of council, I did receive almost a 12.5% or 30% pay.
That wasn't a promotion of the new job start.
Yeah, that's different.
Perfect. Thank you, Councillor Hanson. That means a lot.
Okay.
Anything on regarding overtime or demotion?
No, it's pretty straightforward.
Okay.
Anybody else?
I know in YTG you get, I shouldn't speak like this, but I don't know if it's still the same way, but if you get demoted to YTG, you still stay at the same pay rate. And you go from a truck driver to a laborer, I think your pay rate stays the same, just your title changed. I don't know if that's...
But I think you would be dealing with a union on that.
Exactly.
The private sector.
That's exactly. Okay.
A little different.
Yeah, here you would get reassigned to what your position is on that wage scale and scope.
Yeah.
No, I just want to point that out just because you will have people run the complaint somewhere.
Okay.
We do have one glaring discrepancy when it comes to overtime as well as bank lieu time. For municipal service staff / public work staff, for 40 hours, banking does make sense, but it should be usually in conjunction with what your work week is. And in administration and recreation, our work weeks are 37.5 hours. And there's a 2.5 hour discrepancy in what we can bank versus what we can utilize for a work week actively working. It would make more sense just for confluency between the policies that public works is allowed to bank what their work week is, as well as what administration can do the same verbatim. It would be, instead of a 35-hour banked allocation, it'll be a 37.5-hour banked
allocation. So you're taking the whole week.
You can claim up to the whole week.
But you're working overtime?
No. So if you have lieu time that you banked as PTO, right.
Oh, so you're saying the threshold is 35 hours.
It should be
now.
The equivalent of what one work week is.
Counselors?
I agree.
It doesn't sound. But you're saying 35, and I thought you said 37 and a half.
They work a 37 and a half hour week, but the cap is only 35. So that if they were to take the lieu, they're not getting their full week. They'd have to return the week before the week ends.
For 2.5 hours.
Okay. Yeah, well, that sounds good.
Or take an hour and a half vacation.
Or take an hour and a half of vacation, exactly.
Or 2.5, I mean.
You got that?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I've been doing a little bit of research on what other municipalities do for their acting pay rates, and they usually tend to range between 4 and 6 hours, depending on what the role is. So if you have someone that's going to be going from an intermediary position and covering a senior management position, so say that could be your booking clerk covering the recreation director or your foreman covering the public works general manager, they would usually see a $4 per hour increase on acting pay. If someone was going from a senior management position to covering, say, let's say the CAO position, they would usually see $5 to $6 an hour, just depending on additional responsibility, scope, and required leverage of your time.
So this one is $2.
That's what we are
across the board. $2 across the board.
And may I ask why it's not paid on overtime?
I don't agree with that, to be honest.
I don't either.
Because these roles all require overtime.
That's what I'm thinking.
And if someone's going to be doing two of these roles at once, they're mostly going to need...
So that would be they'll get $3 an hour for their overtime hours?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But I think we should actually just scrap that whole line out of this.
I think...
Because if you're working an acting role, well, you know, say we had a water main issue or a lift station. We don't have a water main, but say we had a lift station.
No, but you had the communications one.
Yeah, we
were in Dawson.
We were in Dawson, and our team had to kind of put all hands on deck. If you're overextending yourself with that, you should be compensated in consumer rate for that.
I think so.
We're $2 an hour. Like, if I move from where I am to an active lead hand, I'm $2 an hour. But say I went to a foreman and it's $4 an hour or something like that. It's something like that. You can check with how YTG, but I think it's something like that.
Most agencies do actually operate like that, where it's a tiered system depending on what level you're covering for, right? What we have is just $2 across the board for everyone, and it's about putting a lot of overtime.
Have you discussed that with the staff?
We have.
And they're cool with $2? Or is
not always
bumped out?
I'll say now, when we had our current recreation director before she succeeded into her role, when she was in her booking clerk role, there was a little bit of negative affirmations that came from the fact that this is a lot of scope, a lot of responsibility on your shoulders, and $2 an hour is, I'm not trying to impose that our staff are ungrateful, but there's definitely better ways to be compensated that are more market rate friendly. I guess that's the best way I can surmise.
Is there a way to check with how other people are handling it?
Oh yeah, I've already checked about 2 or 3 other municipalities, and they all do it based similar to what you mentioned, Councillor Mitchell, a tiered system depending on what responsibility you're taking on.
Yeah.
Because if you're just going from a shovel person to a dump truck, $2 an hour, but then all of a sudden you're running the whole, like what happened here, sewer plant, you're all of a sudden the foreman.
And you're in charge of
schedule.
That's
a lot more responsibility.
Orders.
That's a lot more responsibility.
Okay, so how would you like this?
Would everyone be okay for the next council meeting if I actually write up what a tiered system could look like?
I was going to say, can we look at something? Mm-hmm. I don't know. That's
okay.
And I can include some mentions to the org chart, which will kind of guide our decision-making process.
Does it happen lots? Is it going to make budgeting
well,
an
we
issue?
Had the,
it can. I wouldn't say it happens enough that we have to put in an amended or augmented budget. We wouldn't have to do that. We may have to discuss that for 1 or 2 other projects or roles that we have coming up at the municipality, especially something like a bylaw officer. So we're not necessarily out of the woods of having
that would be like flex hour. So
yes, but we may have at some point in the next month or two a discussion of what an amended budget may look like.
There goes the fridge.
No, the fridge is not leaving, Councillor. I assure you, Councillor Hazel, it's not leaving.
Okay, we moving on.
So next is our contribution plan to the RRSPs. Again, feedback from our staff has been pretty solid regarding this.
Sounds good.
Moving on again.
Yeah, next up is just our medical group insurance plans.
Contributions to the RRSP shall be fully vested. What does that mean?
That means that you can't take it, like take out against it. Like it's untouchable.
And fully vested also means that
secured.
It's secured and it's bonded in the sense that if I'm going to be submitting a contribution, I have to submit that contribution first before it gets matched.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
It's got to be.
It has to be.
It has to be.
It has to be.
Yeah. That. Okay. Thank you.
Oh, no worries. That was a good question. I had to Google that.
And I like that there's 9%. Not to exceed.
So yeah.
That's awesome.
No, well,
I think
kill our budget that way because we only
exactly.
We allocate a certain amount for this each year, right? So if someone decided I wanted to do a 30% contribution, well, we wouldn't be able to sustain that. That's for sure.
That's good.
Next up, we just have our medical and
We don't have a private plan anymore, like from the village.
Oh, yes, that's right. It's through Canada Life.
Sorry. We don't have a group plan anymore, just private.
It's just a private one. So I'll have to change let me change the language on that.
Yeah.
Private, because that's not through AYC.
That's under 13, where it says.
Yeah, that's under. Yeah, that's under 13.
Okay.
So no more group plan, just
no
private.
More group?
Yeah. Private. So anything about medical and insurance benefits?
I don't know. What do you mean by private? As opposed to group?
Private by the individual.
Oh, they do their own insurance?
Yes. So each one has the stake of participating in it. And then it's still ultimately a group insurance plan, but it's not done by the municipality. It's all done by AYC now through the Canada Life what all the communities contribute on that program?
No, not for RSP.
No. We're talking about number 13 now, Ned.
Oh, 13.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes, it's AYC. Yes.
That's an AYC one.
Yes.
So in a way, that is a still group because
it's ultimately a group plan.
Yeah, it just has been guided by.
So on the RSP. That's
okay. So that one is still group. Okay.
Yeah.
So 13 is still a group.
Yes.
12 is what Annette was
yes.
alluding
so,
to, which will be all permanent, full-time, part-time employees hired after adoption of this bylaw will be entitled to participate in a private RSP plan, not a group RSP plan.
Oh, I never even heard of a group RSP plan.
Yes.
Yeah, because when I did mine, I might have bought mine through CIBC, whereas you bought yours through...
Could have been an individual broker or a private broker.
Yeah, because that's what it was before.
Yeah.
Okay.
Next up would be the moving allowance and staff accommodation. I would recommend that we revisit the $2,000 moving expense. Realistically, when I moved up here to be the recreation director, I spent almost $6,000 on moving expenses. I wouldn't say we go that necessarily aggressively, but when we had the previous public works general manager, that was probably about $4,000 in moving expenses. We reimbursed $3,000 on that. We've already set the precedent on our two previous people from away that we hired. We've gone over that $2,000 threshold. That was a motion that was made by lead council
for
Brian
and
for Joel.
For Lisa.
But that's on a discretionary
Lisa,
basis.
We can have the discretion of that.
Yeah, I would sustain at the 2000.
Okay.
With that, what you're about to say,
yeah,
the addition of discretion.
With the addition of the discretion of the mayor and council.
To possibly be more up to, we should say up
there
to.
Should be a cap to this, though, yeah. There has to be a cap to this.
$4,000 or $5,000 cap.
You know, realistically, if we see someone that's this is going to be the next big thing.
I would say
but we also asked for them to pick. Submit receipts, right?
Yeah,
that's a part of every single policy when it comes to reimbursement. I think realistically there has to be a cap that we say we're not going to go over $5,000 for any employee.
I just know that before, when we're looking at employing people that aren't residents, that once they come here and they realize they're making more money than they would have made outside of here, it does pay itself off, but I just, we've had bad luck in the past.
We have.
Giving that incentive up front and then them stepping away. So that's why I'm
saying. Well, we don't give this incentive up front.
Well, it's offered to them.
It gets offered to them and they have to provide proof of reimbursement.
So
it's always been a reimbursement program, right?
So leave it at the two? Is that what you're getting at?
If we leave it at the two, I would really recommend that we put in wording that, similar to other clauses, that this can be revisited on a discretionary basis.
Yeah.
Because auditors will not like it when they see that we have in a bylaw, we have a limit at $2,000. Then for one previous CAO, we spent $4,500. A previous public works general manager, we spent $3,700 or $4,400. It shows there's not a lot of credence in our bylaws if we do that.
If that's in fact what you're saying on an audit or whatever, I would say up to a maximum of, I wouldn't go any more than like 5,000. Because that's like, but they have to show receipts for all.
You want
to
go that high?
Well, think if you're moving from across Canada.
Well, we're trying to hire a local.
Yeah.
And that is still going to be the philosophy and the goal of our administration is to succeed and hire local.
But you want to protect yourself also on having that option.
We don't want to run into another.
Doesn't mean that you necessarily get that because it's going to say up to.
We're pulling tooth and nails to get back what we got last time. You start pushing at 5, that's really going to be hard to get that back. We had the situation that we just got through.
Well said.
That's why I'm a little scared of it. So
you're saying.
Do we know if YTG has a ceiling on theirs?
That I do not know off the top of my head.
That I don't know either, Helena. That might know.
I would say maybe we could look into
a
few of those.
I can research those.
Yeah,
let's see what some other municipalities are doing in some other
areas.
Yeah,
you look like you got an idea, Doris.
Okay, are we going to move on from that?
Yeah.
Okay. Clothing, protective equipment.
Yes, let me just go through this really quickly. I did have something to say about this.
About the maximum and minimum.
Mm-hmm.
Does this mean the village is supplying
them? Supplying them, yes. But I know we've had a couple of the guys mention that sometimes the actual equipment doesn't last as long as what's outlined here.
Well, they should be more careful.
I would say that I know they don't, they're not as durable as like some of the overalls and stuff like that. But, you know, this.
I think we're okay with keeping this the way it is. I just know going forward, we're going to buy the guys some better quality stuff than has been purchased.
So there's nothing to say that there's a price.
No, there's no price limit here. So that's left to our discretion on that.
There you go.
We get a boot allowance once a year. We get a pair of coveralls once a year.
Yep.
You know, that's if accident happened and tear it or something, they'll get us another pair. But
we have the same discretion here.
Yeah.
If guys go through things, we're still going to replace it.
Hard hats are dated. So you don't have a choice. As an employer, you have to replace them when the dates.
Yeah.
So, and as far as gloves go, well, that just depends on how hard your boys work. I go through a lot of gloves.
I wear gloves all the time.
Okay. Moving on. Leave.
Yeah. Any questions or concerns about sick leave? I know when I did my initial review, I had no concerns that popped up on this.
Leave with special leave, leave without pay.
For special leave, we did have immediate family. Let me just reread this one right here. No, there's no issues with that anymore. No, no issues with special leave.
Counselors? Okay.
Doors? Look like what we have in YTG.
Yep. Leave without pay is pretty straightforward.
Vacation leave?
No concerns from administration portion.
Nope. Counselors? Anything on the vacation leave? Okay, moving forward. Long service leave. Give it 5 days, long
yep.
service. After each milestone,
that's yeah, 5 to 10 years.
Maternity leave,
we get 4.
Just with the Yukon Employment Standard Act.
Yep, that's all going to be industry standard.
Injury on duty leave, it's
all industry standard.
Yeah. Okay, moving forward, travel allowance.
Pretty fair there. For paid holidays.
What did you say?
We said travel allowance.
Oh, okay.
Any concerns, Councilor Hinson?
I just didn't know about the travel can't receive travel allowance within the first 24 months. I wasn't aware of that.
I think that's something we should possibly relook at. I know this council, before predating you, Councilor Mitchell, this council did approve my travel allowance to be given to me within my first year, just after how all my evaluation went as a rec director. I know, speaking on behalf of administration, it is a nice incentive for a job well done. And especially when me, I was a person coming from away, I was coming from Northwest Territories. That was a nice incentive that made things worthwhile.
I'm pretty sure I was 2 years, and with YTG, we're 2 years.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. But I'm not going to go if you guys decide something different. But
I would
just
mind.
Really push someone to stay here. That's what
it does. It does. But also, then receiving that $2,500 each year pushes them to stay as well.
Well, you start getting that every
as a retention.
It's not $2,500. It's a taxable.
No, it's $2,500.
$2,500 bonus.
Bonus yeah. on your salary.
Yeah.
YG doesn't pay it until after the second year.
2 years.
And they make you, well, it's a tip. They don't tax it if you don't want them to, but if you don't provide receipts, then you get taxed.
Yeah, that's
it. So this, I don't know if we put it in the same box on the T4, it said that they're the same. They have to put in receipts for that amount.
They
Okay.
Yeah, this doesn't have to be claimed.
So then I think that 2 years is enough.
Perfect.
Okay, moving on.
We do need to add one definition to the paid holiday schedule, and that is Reconciliation Day.
Okay, yeah.
In here.
What day is that?
September 30th each year.
That's what I thought.
Yeah. Yep. Okay, moving on, training. It's pretty straightforward here.
Yep.
Yep. Conditions of employment. Same thing.
Yeah, that goes in conjunction with our HR policy and our job description. So
okay, meeting between employees and other organizations.
Mm-hmm.
Anything there?
It seems pretty industry standard.
Yeah. Repeal.
All right. So I will work on getting a amended draft for first reading for Tuesday. Next Tuesday. Yes, okay. Councilor Hanson.
No, it's good.
Okay.
All right, moving on. Civil addressing bylaw options and review of street naming, bylaw 148-05.
Yes, this one hasn't been looked at in about 19 years. I've included what our bylaw is on the books, as well as the bylaw that's been shared by GIS Yukon, which is the Village of Haines Junction's bylaw from 2020. You can see ours does the bare basics. It does outline what we have as a scope and responsibility when it comes to highway naming or street naming, and also what the requirements are for lettering of your properties. But again, very bare basics. Doesn't actually outline what duties are in charge of administration in our bylaw. It doesn't outline that we as a municipality hold authority over implementing our own system. It alludes to it, but doesn't expressively say that. Whereas if you look over to the Haines Junction bylaw, which is bylaw 35420, they start with a preamble of definitions, which is really important. They talk about cardinal direction indicators, the roles of the chief administrative officer, what a civic address is, the municipal boundaries, and the unit number. So we've learned from Yukon GIS and land planning that they prefer to have unit numbers go as street number as the prefix, or unit number as the prefix, and then a subunit number be a letter designation rather than a number designation. So for example, our six plexes, they're all marked as 191, 192, 193, 194, when really it's supposed to be 190A, 190B, 190C. Really clears up administrative errors, clerical errors for the post office, because we don't have direct order delivery, so that doesn't necessarily affect us. But ultimately,
in certain emergency services,
you just hit the nail on the head. Yeah. It's a lot easier to decipher what 188F is than 18812 is.
Yeah.
And then again, once you do this, this influences future multi or high density housing unit builders to follow the same procedures.
Okay, so
pretty much they have a little breakdown that outlines how civic addresses should be composed. So we don't even have a breakdown of that. So civic address should always go unit number, property number, street name, then a thoroughfare designation, We could probably leave without the thoroughfare designation, but realistically, when you have emergency services,
yeah,
it's good for them to know what junctions of the street are from where.
Yeah.
Again, this outlines when having new developments come into place, the chief administrative officer is the designated authority of what street and civic addressing activities are and what designations and registrations of those plans are. Outlines the definition of what a logical and consistent pattern to this should look like. So we've run into some issues when we were doing this project that, you know, specifically on Tantalus, we had some that were 128 and then it jumps up, what was it, 10,000 or 5,000 on the same civic block. We need to try to clean that up a little bit, which is the whole point of going through this project. Then it pretty much goes for an application of the change of a civic address. What are the procedures? So if someone wants to change their civic address, they can do that through the municipal office. An official civic address listing, so that can be included on our website without public without private information, just public information, as well as the requirement to affix a property number.
Yeah.
So we have a very bare bones allusion to what is required right now. Your 4-inch letter or number, and it must be posted somewhere visible is what pretty much it says in our bylaw. Well, something somewhere visible can mean something different to the property owner and to the fire department or the administration or the municipality.
That's not anything to do with the lot number.
No, we're not playing with lot numbers. We're just going with civic address here. People want to figure out lot numbers, they can go through the deeds office or they can go through GIS or GeoDuCon. So here's the actual conditions to what those affixed property numbers need to meet. And then we would have an offense schedule that I would, draft up. We would look at what that could possibly look like. Again, the whole point of this is not necessarily to be scaring people to compliance. It's just educating them for the best practices of the community, for their household and the community.
Visible, stuff like this.
It's exactly it. If you're calling for first response, you want the first response to be able to get there.
The village, when it first put out this bylaw, they provided all those reflective signs for each property.
And this would be part of the same project here, as we would have to...
The properties that don't have them, would we give them new ones?
We give them new ones. The ones that have them and they're really in rough shape or they're not looking good, or we want everything to look conformed and uniform and consistent, we would just put out a new rollout. So have they done this in Ames Junction? We missed the boat on this year, but maybe for next year or the tail end of this year.
Funding platform for it?
Not necessarily a funding platform. They did it through gas tax, so we can do the same thing. So it is a funding platform. It's just our own balance for it. A project of this nature is usually about $10,000 to $15,000. And whenever someone came in to pay the property taxes, they got their new letter or their new unit number.
That sounds good.
And it's being a pretty good system. Because then people also feel like they're getting something tangible for paying for something that sometimes feels intangible.
Well, aren't they getting it no matter what?
Well, yeah, but...
So what's...
Well, it saves us doing the legwork of having to administer them all.
If you're giving it out, then you're giving it out.
Yes, and we're hoping for the best of, the due diligence of the homeowners and the
put
it up, exactly. So, again, that's the risk versus reward.
It could be an emergency services type of project where you have the fire, EMS, whatever, then help assist somebody putting it up if they can.
That could work.
Right.
I think realistically, now that you've mentioned the risk of giving it out to a homeowner and the onus of them being the one to put it up, it probably should just happen to Public Works. You want something like this to be...
Well, you're dealing with somebody's private property, so that's why I'm saying...
Well, no, because how they did this in other municipalities is they're not putting it actually on the property.
They're putting it
on the easement access on the road.
Well, that's
so it's a little flag that sticks up, says, let's say...
It gets a
110 scooter. Something along those lines. You're not actually putting this on the doorway.
I understand that, but it gets really confusing when you have lot numbers that are given by someone of the government.
Mm-hmm. But this is
your address sitting right next to it.
This is not going to be in confluence with the lot numbers. Unfortunately, yes, some lot numbers are still going to be visibly apparent because they have
it
listed.
You're talking about...
you can put it in the bylaw that...
infraction part of it, but when you're actually going to be implementing something that's not really on their property, you're talking about on the lot line now.
On the lot
line. It's a totally different written bylaw of what they're actually accountable for.
Well, yeah, we're not copy and pasting what they did in Haines Junction. We're we'll be doing a little bit differently, yes.
Okay.
The whole point when we discuss this with the GIS team, how it works as a streamlined practice, is if we don't necessarily have to be asking for permission of the property owner to put this up. The way you work around that is by putting it up on an easement access or on their offset.
But when you're talking about using gas tax and this public money to implement something that
isn't
in their control, really, they're getting it and you're not giving them really an option to say, like, I have an address already, it's right here. Like, why do I need to spend my tax dollars on something that I already have?
Well, gas tax isn't necessarily tax.
Well,
dollars.
It's a taxable
base. It is a taxable base, but it doesn't necessarily come from property tax.
That's my concern.
I can understand that, but you know, what we really need is some consistent uniform measure that outlines
response
for everyone.
A 500 person village, that we can get that done without having it implemented, without them saying yay or nay.
How would that work?
By public notice, everything. Help people out. Like you said, you can probably spend way less money just helping somebody on an emergency response type of platform than using 15 grand and just sticking it in on the lot line.
Yeah, we're also talking a 2 or 3 day project versus possibly a 2 month project.
What else does the emergency services have but time? Like,
well, we don't necessarily have a plethora of time
interact
with some of this stuff.
Interact, well, it's never been brought to my attention, and I've lived here for X amount of time, but I do live in an area where the address is given on the house, not.
Well, yeah, we don't cover First Nation. We have no authority over a First Nation household.
I'm just saying, I think there is a better way to approach it to get emergency services, if that's kind of where we're going with this in response to going
where
you're going.
It's not all of it, but it's a portion of it. It is. You know, when we went through this project, and that, how many properties did not have an address? I marked them down. It was, what, 30, 40?
Yeah.
But almost 40 properties have been developed in this community that do not have a listed address by us, the RCMP, or the EMS. That's bad, guys. So, well, the best way to do this is, let's do a civic addressing project correctly. Clean up the ill-corrected or ill-addressed multiplexes. Assign correct block numbers to all these new developments. And ultimately, this can only really happen under the jurisdiction of the municipality. It's our responsibility.
When they first changed this, when we were all general delivery, and they went to these address things, because I was the last emergency service, I'm still lost. When they call, I say, give me a name. Right. I don't know all these streets and whatnot. I've been here 45 years. What they ended up doing was, there's 101 over here. One, I was getting someone else's mail. Someone else was getting my mail. They're getting mixed up. And then all of a sudden, they threw a 175. So my house went from lot 123 from River Drive to 175. All of a sudden, I got three addresses. You know what I'm saying? So we do this. We got to really watch how we're doing it, because if we start doing that again, I kind of agree. But do you think the emergency service is going to run around putting up these signs?
No, I'm saying you can work with a program that can help assist with that, right? But like,
what program is that?
Well, you can volunteer to help, but it should still fall under the municipality.
Because ultimately, it's our responsibility. We're the ones that have to produce maps for these other two agencies.
Because if everybody in fire and ambulance decide not to do it, these signs still got to go up, and it's going to be the municipality. So I think we could volunteer or be asked, our guys, but I think it should be. I think I understand where you're coming from, Matt. We have to have a concrete that we know it's going to get done.
Mm-hmm.
Because volunteers are only volunteers when who knows shows up. But I also agree it would be nice if they.
I'm saying the border of giving it on the property line and then implementing some type of infraction is where I'm having some type of.
There doesn't have to be necessarily any infraction. We just have to say that, you know, by bylaw, I cannot necessarily remove this, or we encourage you not to remove this, and there could be penalties.
I didn't know.
That's different.
Yeah, exactly. There could be penalties. We don't have to follow the same wording that's included here that
so
forbids, omits, you know, so on and so forth.
I don't remember them asking coming on and even coming on my property. I just came home one day and there was a 175 on the side of my house.
Yeah, that's
times have changed.
Before. Yeah,
no, but I'm just saying I had no problem with it. Why people would have a problem with that, I don't know, but they wouldn't want to do it back when I had my dogs. You weren't
going to. Are you going to write a proposed bylaw?
Our own version of what an actual detailed bylaw is in this conversation.
But would you also have this conversation with the First Nations so we can get them involved?
We have to come up with our format first, then share with them what our vision's going to be.
Because I think if we don't, we're wasting our time.
Well, I'm thinking that, yes, I agree with informing them or whatever, but if you're talking about putting something on a lot line, that's a totally different scenario. It's like the your lot number, right? Where it's not really on your property. So you're kind of staying away from
the exact same situation.
That situation where...
And we have to follow that practice, because if you look at, say, a property like our mayor, Lee, for example, if we're going to be putting civic addressing signage up, it has to be going at the entrance of his property or at the lot line, because
it's a waste of time.
Put it on his house.
We put it in his house, you have to drive 700 meters to actually see what his number
is. You better have him under GPS for an emergency, because he ain't finding his address from the road.
Well, that's exactly it, right?
Yeah.
So
okay,
we have to remember that there's a variety of properties that we have to make sure fall in this scope.
Exactly.
I can see where you're going with most of that.
Yeah.
I agree with Justin too. It'd be nice if people got involved.
I would love if we could get some like civic engagement and civic involvement from some agencies and some groups.
Yeah.
But realistically, this isn't a project that we want to be driving stakes into the ground in October or November. We want to have this done this summer, right? Yeah.
Any other questions?
No, I like that.
No, thank you.
Involved, get the First Nation involved. And no, I think
it would just be a public notice at that point if you're on the lot line.
Yeah, that's exactly it. And we'll put out little mailers that we usually do to the PO boxes.
Okay.
There will be a handful of possible addresses that may have a change in address, but they'll get notice of that. Our municipal clerk, for instance, he's already been working on that. Plus, it would actually include a civic address application form. So if you wanted to apply for a civic address that's in line with our patterns, as well as change your civic address, for symbolic or whatever reasons, special guidelines,
or comments, or whatever. Like, if you're coming to this house, be prepared for this.
Yeah, anything like that requires, you know, special attention to the address.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we would have a discretionary form that people can apply, and we would consider everyone's application on merit and what's applicable.
Okay.
Cool. Well, I'm something ready for Tuesday for you guys.
Thank you, Matthew.
No worries.
Moving on, new and unfinished business. See nothing.
Make the motion that we go in camera.
I'm going to ask a question.
Oh, I guess there's a person public in the gallery.
Anybody has any questions in the gallery?
I'll unmute.
No questions here.
Thanks for joining us, Charles.
Hey, Charles.
Yeah, no worries.
All right. Thanks, Charles. So I guess we have a motion.
We have a seconder.
I'll second it.
All in favor?
I'll second it.
All right, guys, just give me a second so I can